Okay, so get ready, because today we're tackling something pretty big.
Literally and figuratively, right?
Yeah, exactly. Obesity and cancer.
We're diving deep into how they're connected.
It's a lot more than just, you know, struggling to fit into your genes.
It's way deeper than that.
Exactly. We're talking about our biology here.
We're going way beyond the surface today.
Yeah, like down to a cellular level where obesity can actually fuel cancer.
We're using some research articles and medical texts to really get into it.
Yeah, by the end of this, you'll really understand what's happening inside your body.
Knowledge is power.
That's what this whole series is about. And, you know, we often hear that a high BMI is bad.
It's just the tip of the iceberg.
But we're going beyond BMI in this deep dive.
Yeah, we're talking about obesity as defined by the World Health Organization. A BMI over 30 is...
And how that can actually lead to cancer.
Because when we talk about fat, we're not talking about something that's just inert, just sitting there.
Right, like it's just a storage unit for extra calories or something.
It's more like a factory churning out hormones.
It's sending signals all over the place.
All throughout your body.
So it's like our fat cells are having these conversations, and we're not really invited, are we?
Not invited at all.
So what happens with obesity when these conversations go a little haywire?
Imagine a peaceful town square.
Okay.
And suddenly, it's overrun by a rowdy crowd. That's kind of what happens with obesity.
Okay.
This town square is your adipose tissue.
Okay.
That rowdy crowd, those are hormones called adipokine.
Adipokine.
They're usually pretty chill.
Okay.
They help regulate your energy balance, metabolism, things like that.
Keeping things running smoothly.
Exactly.
But with obesity.
It's like the music is cranked up way too loud.
And things get out of hand.
The balance of these adipokines gets messed up.
And that can't be good.
It sets the stage for cancer.
Okay, so we have this hormonal imbalance, but how does that actually turn into cancer?
Inflammation.
Okay, like when you get a cut.
Exactly.
It gets all red and puffy.
That's your body trying to heal.
Our immune system doing its thing.
Sending in the troops.
But with obesity.
That's like the fire alarm is going off 24/7.
And eventually something has to give.
Exactly.
So we're constantly on high alert, and that makes us more vulnerable to cancer.
It wears down our defenses.
So it's not just about the hormones, then?
No, it's way more complicated than that.
What else is going on?
Chronic inflammation can mess with cell signaling.
Like scrambling the lines of communication.
Exactly.
So cells aren't getting the right messages.
And it interferes with DNA repair, too.
And that's bad, right? DNA is pretty important.
Very important, yeah.
What happens when it's not repaired properly?
It increases the risk of mutations, those errors in your DNA.
And those mutations can lead to cancer.
Exactly.
Wow, so we have inflammation setting the stage. Are there other factors that add to this?
Absolutely. Insulin resistance is a big one.
This is where it gets really interesting to me. Tell me more about that.
Okay, so insulin is like a key
that
unlocks your cells to let glucose in.
Glucose, that's the sugar from our food, right?
That's right.
To give us energy.
But with insulin resistance, those locks get rusty.
So the key doesn't work.
Exactly. The glucose can't get in as easily.
So what happens? Our body just gives up.
No, it panics.
Okay.
It starts producing even more insulin.
Trying to force those locks open.
Exactly.
But that can't be good either, can it?
No, it's not. High insulin levels, it's like fertilizer for cancer cells.
Oh no, it makes them grow faster.
It encourages them to grow and spread.
So it's like a double whammy.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
Inflammation sets the stage, and then insulin resistance just pours gasoline on it.
That's why we see higher risks of certain cancers, like colorectal and endometrial cancer.
And people with obesity.
And type 2 diabetes.
So it all ties together. Okay, so we've got these big picture things like inflammation and insulin resistance, but it's different for different types of cancer, right?
Absolutely. It's not one size fits all.
Right.
Like with colorectal cancer.
Okay.
Research has shown that 22% of early onset cases in women.
Wow, 22%. That's a lot.
22% could be linked back to obesity.
Wow, so we've got inflammation and insulin resistance in colorectal cancer, but what's actually happening there?
Think of your colon like a pipeline.
Okay.
And inflammation, it's like roughing up the inside of that pipeline.
Okay.
With sandpaper.
Ouch.
So those polyps, it creates the perfect environment for them to form.
Okay, so it's like creating bumps in the road.
Exactly.
And those polyps, those can be cancerous, right?
They can turn into troublemakers, yeah.
And then insulin resistance makes things worse.
It's like pouring fertilizer on them.
Oh, no.
Encouraging them to grow.
Not good.
And potentially develop into full-blown cancer.
Okay, yikes. What about breast cancer? I know that's a big one, especially for women.
Definitely. Yeah, and especially when it comes to postmenopausal breast cancer.
Okay.
Here, the troublemaker is estrogen.
Estrogen.
You know, the hormone that we associate with female development and all that.
Right, right.
But fat cells actually produce estrogen too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so after menopause,
okay,
when the ovaries aren't really doing that anymore,
right,
fat tissue, it becomes the main supplier.
So more fat, more estrogen.
Exactly.
And that's not good for breast cancer.
Not good at all.
Because it can make it grow faster.
Well, it's not just the amount.
Okay.
It's how your body responds to it too.
Okay.
Obesity can make breast cells more sensitive to estrogen.
So it's like it's rigging the game to make it easier for cancer to grow.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
And that's scary.
It is scary.
Are there other cancers where this estrogen connection is a major factor?
Endometrial cancer, for sure.
Endometrial cancer.
That's the lining of the uterus.
Okay.
Estrogen plays a key role there.
Okay.
Or again, obesity contributes to higher estrogen levels.
Oh, so it's the same problem.
Same thing, yeah.
Okay, so we've got inflammation and insulin resistance and hormones, all these big picture things,
yeah,
influenced by obesity that increase cancer risk.
Right.
But we need to look closer, right? Like down to the cells.
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to get into the nitty gritty of it.
Yeah, let's do it.
But let's start with cell signaling.
Cell signaling.
That's the communication network in your body.
Okay, so how cells talk to each other.
Yeah, and how they know what to do.
Like when to grow and divide and all that.
Exactly.
So what happens with obesity?
Imagine a game of telephone.
Okay.
Where the message gets messed up each time.
Oh.
That's kind of what happened.
With obesity?
With cell signaling and obesity, yeah.
Okay, so those adipokines.
Yeah.
They're like messing up the messages.
Exactly.
Leading to all sorts of problems.
It can lead to cancer.
So the cells are getting their signals crossed.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like they're getting bad information.
And they don't know what to do.
And it's not just the adipokines either.
Oh, there's more.
Inflammation, insulin resistance.
Right. Those are all bad.
They all play a part.
Okay, what about DNA damage and repair?
Okay, so think of your DNA like a recipe book.
Okay, with the instructions for our body.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now imagine spilling coffee all over it.
Oh.
The ink gets all smudged.
You ruined the recipe book.
Some of it you can't even read anymore.
That's DNA damage.
That's DNA damage, yeah.
But our cells are always dealing with that kind of thing, right?
They are, yeah.
Just little mistakes and things.
But luckily, our cells can usually fix it.
They can.
Yeah, they have repair mechanisms.
Like an eraser.
Exactly, like an eraser and a pen.
To fix those little mistakes.
To rewrite the instructions.
Okay, so where does obesity come in?
It's like trying to erase those coffee stains with a dirty sponge.
Oh, no.
It's not very effective.
Right. It just makes it worse.
Exactly.
So obesity makes it harder to repair DNA.
Yes. And chronic inflammation.
Right. That was a bad one.
It produces free radicals.
Free radicals. What are those?
Those are like little saboteurs going around causing more DNA damage.
So even more problems.
And insulin resistance.
Okay.
It's like having a shortage of pens and erasers.
So we can't even fix the problems.
Exactly.
So more damage, fewer resources to fix it. That can't be good.
And that's when mutations can happen.
Mutations.
Those are like typos in the genetic code.
And those can lead to cancer.
They can disrupt how cells are supposed to behave.
Wow. So obesity is messing with the instructions for our cells.
It's messing with the blueprint.
Okay, so we've got the recipe book. Now it's like we're messing with the blueprint.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And that makes them more likely to turn into cancer.
More susceptible to errors.
It's a recipe for disaster.
And it doesn't stop there.
Oh no, there's more.
Obesity also affects the cell cycle.
The cell cycle, what's that?
That's how cells grow and divide.
Okay, like a cycle of life and death for cells.
Yeah, you could think of it like that.
And it's all very controlled and orderly, right?
Exactly, it's like a carefully choreographed dance.
But obesity messes that up.
It disrupts the balance.
The dance goes haywire.
And the music speeds up.
And someone's going to get hurt.
The dancers go wild.
And in this case, getting hurt means cancer.
Exactly.
So we have this perfect storm going on. Obesity, messing with cell signaling, messing with DNA repair.
And messing with the cell cycle.
It's like setting the stage for cancer to come in and take over.
And to make it even more complicated, we have to talk about genes.
Genes. Okay, so is this where nature versus nurture comes in?
That's right. There's this idea of shared genetic susceptibility.
So some people are just more prone to both obesity and cancer.
Exactly.
Is it like inheriting something?
Yeah, think of it like a family recipe.
Okay, I like where this is going.
But it's for a really delicious but unhealthy cake.
Like, it tastes amazing, but it's terrible for you.
You might have a genetic tendency for certain eating habits.
Okay.
Or a metabolism that makes you gain weight more easily.
And that increases your risk of obesity and then cancer.
Exactly.
So it's not always about willpower then.
Not always, no. Some people might be starting the race with a heavier load.
That's not fair.
It's a complex interplay between your genes and your environment.
Right. It's always more complicated than it seems.
And we don't even know all the genes that are involved yet.
We're still figuring it all out.
It's an ongoing area of research.
Wow. Okay, so if you're listening to this and you're freaking out a little bit...
I don't blame you.
What should you do? Should you talk to your doctor?
You should always talk to your doctor.
Especially about something like this.
They can assess your risk factors.
They can look at your family history, your lifestyle, all that.
Exactly.
So it's not just about, like, Googling it.
It's about getting personalized advice.
Right, because everyone's different.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've been talking about how obesity increases your risk of getting cancer.
Right.
But our sources also talk about how obesity affects your prognosis.
Yeah, that's important too.
What does prognosis even mean?
Prognosis, it's basically the likely course of a disease.
Okay.
Like a prediction of how someone with cancer will do.
Okay, based on how advanced it is and stuff.
And their weight.
Oh, wow. So even if you have cancer, your weight still matters.
It can affect how well you respond to treatment.
Wow. So how does obesity actually affect your cancer prognosis?
Well, remember those troublemakers we talked about?
Yeah. Inflammation, insulin resistance.
They don't just increase your risk of getting cancer.
Right.
They make it harder to treat, too.
Oh, no. So they're working against us.
But like your body's trying to fight on two fronts.
That's hard.
Obesity just adds fuel to the fire.
So it makes it harder to win the fight.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
So it's not just about survival rates. It's about quality of life, too.
Exactly. Obesity can make it harder to recover from surgery.
Right. Surgery is hard enough as it is.
And tolerate chemotherapy.
Oh, man.
It's like adding insult to injury.
Wow. This is heavy stuff.
Yeah. It's really important for people to understand this, though.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not about blaming anyone.
Right. It's not anyone's fault.
It's about empowering people to take control of their health.
Knowledge is power.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've touched upon a few different types of cancer.
Yeah.
But our source material goes into way more detail
about
specific cancers. And
how obesity affects them.
Yeah. Let's get into the specifics.
Let's do it.
Okay, so first up, colorectal cancer.
Okay.
We talked about the risk, but what about the prognosis? Does obesity make it harder to beat?
It does, unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, no.
Studies show that people with obesity who are diagnosed with colorectal cancer, they're more likely to have advanced disease.
So it's worse when they find it.
And they have lower chance of survival.
So it affects both how early they find it and the overall outcome.
That's right.
That's terrible. So it's not just about dying from the cancer.
Right.
It's about it coming back.
Obesity makes that more likely too.
That's scary, adding another layer of worry on top of everything else.
It is, yeah.
Okay, what about breast cancer?
Okay.
We talked about how it can increase estrogen.
Right.
But does it also affect the prognosis?
Yes. Studies have shown that women with obesity,
okay,
who are diagnosed with breast cancer,
yeah,
they have a poorer prognosis.
Compared to women at a healthy weight.
Exactly.
Even though we have better treatments now than ever before.
It's still a big obstacle.
And it's not just about survival rates either, right?
Right. Obesity has been linked to the cancer spreading.
Metastasis. That's what it's called, right? And that's really bad.
Yeah. It's a major concern.
So obesity makes it more likely that the cancer will spread.
It can. Yeah.
So we're back to that rigged game thing.
It tips the scales in favor of the cancer.
And makes it harder to beat.
That's one way to look at it.
Okay, what about endometrial cancer? We talked about the estrogen connection there.
Right, so one thing to remember,
okay,
is that obesity doesn't just increase the risk of getting it.
Right.
It also increases the risk of a more aggressive form.
Oh, so it's not just about if you get it.
It's about what kind you get.
Wow, that's scary. So are there different types of endometrial cancer?
There are, yeah.
And obesity makes the more aggressive kind more likely.
It's been linked to a higher risk of type 1.
Type 1, okay, and that one's worse.
It grows faster and spreads more easily.
Okay, that's terrifying.
It's definitely something to be aware of.
Are there other cancers where obesity might make it more aggressive?
There's some evidence, but we need more research.
That seems to be a theme.
It is, yeah. Cancer is complicated.
It really is.
And there are so many factors.
So many things that can affect it.
But obesity is a big one.
It really seems to be.
Yeah.
What about ovarian cancer? We haven't talked about that one much.
That one's tricky.
Okay.
The link to obesity isn't as clear,
okay,
as with some of the other cancers we've talked about.
Okay, but there is a link.
There's growing evidence.
Oh, okay.
Suggesting that obesity might increase the risk.
Of ovarian cancer?
Of certain types, yeah.
Okay.
Particularly the ones that are hormone driven.
So that estrogen thing again?
It's possible.
Okay, so is it the same mechanism as with the other cancers?
It could be, yeah.
And what about inflammation?
Oh, yeah, inflammation's a big problem there, too.
Because it can cause ovarian cancer?
Well, obesity increases inflammation in the pelvic region.
Okay.
Which might contribute
to ovarian cancer.
That's the idea.
Okay, so more research is needed.
That's
but there are some potential links there.
We just don't know everything yet.
Okay, what about prognosis in ovarian cancer? Does obesity make a difference there, too?
The research is mixed.
Oh, okay.
But some studies have suggested that it might be associated with a poorer prognosis.
So again, obesity makes things worse.
It seems to, yeah.
Even though we don't fully understand why.
Exactly. And it highlights the need for more research.
Always more research.
Always.
Okay. Let's move on to pancreatic cancer.
Okay.
That one's a tough one, right?
Yeah. Pancreatic cancer is very aggressive.
And it's linked to obesity.
Very strongly, yeah.
Do you know why?
It seems to be a combination of things.
Okay.
Obesity can cause chronic inflammation of the pancreas.
Okay.
Which can damage the cells.
And damaged cells can become cancerous.
That's right.
So it's inflammation setting the stage again.
Exactly.
And then we have insulin resistance.
And high insulin levels.
Which are bad for pancreatic cancer.
Well, they can make it grow faster.
Oh.
It's like they fertilize the cancer cells.
It's amazing how often we come back to those same things. It really is, yeah.
Inflammation, insulin resistance.
They're behind a lot of these problems.
And obesity makes them worse.
It does, yeah.
What about the prognosis for pancreatic cancer?
Well, like we said, it's an aggressive cancer.
Right. And obesity seems to make the prognosis worse.
So it's harder to treat.
Yeah, people with obesity are more likely to be diagnosed later.
When it's harder to treat.
Exactly.
And they're more likely to die from it.
Unfortunately.
Yes. This is all very sobering.
It is, yeah.
But it's important to talk about it.
Definitely.
I just want to say again, this is not about blaming anyone
right.
who's struggling with their weight.
It's about giving people information.
So they can make informed choices.
Exactly. It's about removing the stigma.
Yeah, I like it.
And providing support.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have, yeah.
But there's one more thing I want to touch on.
Okay.
The obesity paradox.
Oh, yeah, that one.
We mentioned it earlier.
We did. Oh. Well, what is it? So the obesity paradox is this observation.
Okay.
That sometimes
okay.
obesity seems to be linked to better outcomes.
Wait, what?
I know, it's weird.
So obesity can be good for cancer.
Well.
Not exactly.
But you just said.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Okay, I'm ready for the complicated explanation.
So basically, sometimes it seems like obesity can protect against cancer.
Protect.
In certain cases.
Okay.
But it's not like it's a good thing.
Right.
It's just that sometimes it seems to have a protective effect.
And this is like proven by science.
Yeah, researchers have observed this.
Okay, but how is that even possible?
We're still trying to figure that out. It's a bit of a head scratcher.
I bet.
One theory is that it might be more common in older adults.
Okay.
Or people with certain health conditions.
Okay.
Where that extra weight might actually help them.
Help them.
Like during cancer treatment. So it's like a buffer.
Exactly. Like a reserve tank.
To help them get through the treatment.
That's the idea.
Okay, that makes sense, but it still seems weird.
It is weird.
But what other explanations are there?
Well, another theory is that it might have something to do with cancer biology.
Cancer biology.
Like different tumors might behave differently.
Okay.
In people with obesity.
Okay, so it's not just about the obesity.
It's about how the cancer itself behaves.
Which we don't fully understand.
Exactly.
So basically, we don't know why this is happening.
Not really, no.
But it does seem to be happening.
It does, yeah.
Okay, so what's the takeaway here?
Well, the obesity paradox doesn't mean that obesity is good.
Right.
It's still a major risk factor for cancer.
But it does complicate things.
It does. It shows how much we still don't know.
And how much more research we need.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit now.
Sounds good.
We've talked about all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
But what can people actually do about it?
You can make changes.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of our listeners are probably wondering what they can actually do.
Lifestyle changes. They can make a big difference.
Yeah. Okay, but not like crazy diets and stuff?
No, no, nothing crazy. Just small changes.
Small changes. Okay, I like the sound of that.
Sustainable changes.
Sustainable, right? Like you can actually stick with it.
Exactly. So start with your diet.
Okay, what should we be eating?
Lots of fruits and vegetables.
Okay, like a rainbow on your plate.
That's a great way to put it.
I try to do that.
And lean protein, chicken, fish.
Okay.
Swap those refined grains for whole grains.
So basically ditch the processed food.
Yeah, all that junk food.
And to eat real food.
Exactly. Those foods, they're like fuel for your body.
They help us fight back.
They fight inflammation.
Oh.
Stabilize blood sugar.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, and they support your overall health.
It's like giving your body the tools it needs exactly to fight off those diseases.
Exactly.
What about exercise? I know a lot of people, they hear exercise and they're like, nope, I'm out.
I know.
And it's important, right?
It is. It really is. It helps you lose weight.
Okay.
Build muscle.
Okay.
Improve your insulin sensitivity.
So it's not just about like looking good in a swimsuit.
No, it's about your health.
Right, right.
And you don't have to go crazy.
Yeah, you don't have to train for a marathon.
No, just find something you enjoy.
Something you can stick with.
Yeah. Exactly. Walking, gardening, dancing.
Taking the stairs instead of the elevator.
Perfect example.
I like that. It doesn't have to be a chore.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got diet and exercise. What else?
Well, our sources also mentioned bariatric surgery.
Okay.
And medication.
Right. Those are more serious options.
Yeah, bariatric surgery is a big decision.
It's not for everyone, right?
No, it's typically for people with severe obesity.
Who haven't had success with other methods.
Exactly.
So it's a last resort kind of thing.
It can be very effective, though.
Right. It can be life-changing.
Yeah, but you have to talk to your doctor.
Always talk to your doctor.
They can tell you if it's right for you.
What about medication?
There are some medications that can help with weight loss.
Okay.
But again, you have to talk to your doctor.
Because they can have side effects.
And they're not right for everyone.
And it's not just about taking a pill and forgetting about it, right?
Right. It's not a magic solution.
You still have to eat healthy and exercise.
Those lifestyle changes are key.
Okay. So it's all connected.
It is. Yeah.
What about this keto diet I keep hearing about?
The ketogenic diet.
Yeah. Is that good for cancer?
It's interesting. It's been used for epilepsy for a long time.
Okay.
But now they're looking at it for cancer.
And how does it work?
Well, cancer cells, they love sugar.
They love sugar. Okay.
So the keto diet, it's very low carb.
Right. So it starves the cancer cells.
That's the idea.
It makes them weaker.
It might. Yeah.
But we don't know for sure yet.
We need more research. There's that phrase again.
But the early research is promising.
Okay. So should I talk to my doctor about keto? Yeah. If you're considering it, definitely talk to your doctor.
Okay. Because it's not for everyone either.
Right. It's very restrictive.
They're hard to stick to.
And it might not be safe for everyone.
Okay. So the bottom line is talk to your doctor.
Exactly. They can help you figure out the best plan for you.
Because everyone's different.
Exactly. There's no one-size-fits-all approach.
I like that. It's about personalized medicine.
That's the future of healthcare.
Wow. This has been a lot of information.
It has, yeah.
But it's been really interesting.
I agree.
Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your expertise with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into obesity and cancer. We hope you learned something new and that you're inspired to take charge of your health. Remember, knowledge is power, and even small changes can make a big difference.